Well, this morning we're going to look at a subject that is very important to all of us. We're going to look first in the book of John. So if you want to turn to the chapter 8 in the book of John, the Gospel of John. You know, inherent in every human being that has honestly looked at life and looked at their own life, there is a desire to be free. I don't care what your background is, your culture, what country you were born in. I believe every human wants to have that aspect of freedom in their lives. And what do I mean by free? I mean, there's quite a few definitions when you talk about having freedom, right? And let me share with you a few dictionary definitions of freedom. Unencumbered by laws and regulations. All right. The freedom to choose. Not subject to government regulations or official control. Not confined to any place, person, or thing. Independent. These are all, could be all defined or definitions of the word freedom or being free. Not subject to the rule or control of another. Autonomous. Enjoying civil and political liberty. So these are different words when we think about freedom. But there's another more important freedom which may overcome all of these. And that's the one thing that we can be free from fear. Free from fear. The greatest limiting factor in every human being is fear. And that binds people. It makes them sick. It kills them. It destroys them. It squashes their initiative to live successful lives. Fear is man's greatest enemy. And there's a verse. Well, I told you to turn to John. I'm going to quote to you first, or 2 Timothy 1:7. I think many of you are familiar with this. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And this came up yesterday when we were ministering and blessing people. But the freedom of fear... Freedom of fear. You and I, because we're born again of God's Spirit, we are what I call sons of liberty. Amen. Sons of freedom. And that's what I'm titling this teaching, Sons of Liberty. So, you're in John chapter 8. And verse 31. You know, what sets men and women free from the bondage of fear, worry, and doubt is God's word believed. And it says here in John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
What makes men and women free, truly free, especially from fear that binds people's lives, is the truth of God's word. There might be other antidotes, other things that might help people, but it is not lasting. It's not eternal, because we have eternal freedom, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the truth shall make you free. God's word is true. Man, since the beginning of time, has attempted to make himself free, have that sense of freedom, not be encumbered by anybody or any group of people, government, whatever. Yet, as we witness in the Bible and our history books, man has failed miserably. Very few people experience true freedom in their lives. They're bound by, again, maybe governments, culture, whatever. And it's very evident when you look at around the world at the different lifestyles and what's going on. But the true freedom for all mankind comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in John 8:36, a couple verses down, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be what?
Free.
Free indeed. Definitely. You will be free indeed. Jesus Christ has freed us from the bondage of the devil. Amen. Satan. He has freed us. He's our patriot, the one that set us free. He's the one that really counts. He's bigger than Samuel Adams or John Adams or anybody else. He's the one that really makes the difference, Jesus Christ. And if we've confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and if we believe that God raised him from the dead, we are filled with Holy Spirit. We're saved. What are we saved from? The condemnation. Yeah. So we are free indeed. Let's go to Galatians, if you would. Our privilege and responsibility as sons of God is to stand on the truth of our freedom. I think too many Christians are still bound up in fear. They're still squelched by the things of this world and have not risen up to believe their rights as sons of God. But we can stand on the truth that has made us free. Paul and Titus had quite an opportunity along these lines as false brethren spied out their liberty in Christ as recorded in Galatians. So, chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily or secretly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what?
Bondage.
Bondage. Bondage. The law is bondage. Jesus Christ has taken away the law. We don't need the law anymore. We have the law of love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this final verse 5, to whom we give place by subjection?
No.
No, not for an hour. That's a great figure of speech there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I was just looking at a book Jeannie got for me on figures of speech. It's titled Go Figure, an introduction to figures of speech in the Bible. And, of course, many of you are aware of Bullinger's book on figures of speech. But, boy, I tell you, that book is like a textbook.
Yeah.
It is very detailed. I mean, it's great, but this one's much more simplistic and communicates to my simple mind a little bit better. But figures of speech are emphasis that God has in His Word. What does God emphasize? He uses these figures of speech, and this is a great one. No, not for an hour. We're not going to give place. What a great attitude to have. You know, and that's sometimes in our minds as we live life and we're faced with bondage, fear, worry, doubt. How do we deal with that? Do we take a stand and say, no, not me, not for an hour, not for a minute, not for a second?
Mm-hmm.
We take a stand on the freedom that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Great, great bold stand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That is beautiful. Let's go to chapter 5 in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, excuse me, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage, the laws, all these sacrifices, all these things that they had to experience in the Old Testament, they just kept people in bondage. It was the best available until Christ came, but now Christ has come, and we have the reality of Christ within us, so we don't need to be entangled with any kind of bondage that would hold us back from being our best for our Heavenly Father. So, you know, we're celebrating this 4th of July, the heritage of the freedom fighters that started our wonderful country. And yet I'm more thankful for the one freedom fighter, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did it. We only needed one. He was the perfect one. And he was the freedom fighter of all time. So now we can be those sons of God that can stand on the gospel of truth no matter what. Verse 13, take a look at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know, and this is a good point here because, you know, if I have this freedom and I'm not under any laws or anything, then I can do whatever I darn well please. That's kind of a natural man thought. But what would be a spiritual person's thought? Well, we read the rest of the verse and it says, but by love, serve one another. We serve one another. We give. See, this is in light of the great freedom we have in Christ. Our action, call to action, is to serve with the love of God. Isn't that neat? So we are sons of liberty. And we can serve. We can love people with the love of God. That's what's so wonderful on Agape Now. We're just loving on people down there. And some kind of giggle at us or think, what are these guys doing, you know? I don't care. It's not, it's their problem, not mine. I'm doing God's will, and we just have a great time doing it. And it's funny, we're surrounded by all kinds of different stuff. On one side was this little tent, and I'm trying to remember what they had on that little banner. It said, spiritual awareness, spiritual readings, and then it had a chart, color psychology. Tell us your color and we'll tell you what kind of person you really are. And so it's really cool to be around these different thoughts and ideas about living life. But I'm so, so thankful that we have the truth of God's word. That's what sets men and women free, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Wow. Well, I'd like to close in James. If you would go to James chapter 1. So as sons of liberty, we want to continue to focus on God's word and believe it. Literally believe God's word. And when we do that, we're going to be blessed in our deeds for sure, because we do it with the love of God. Well, James 1, chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty... I think that, I don't know if that's an oxymoron, the law of liberty. And continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. We're going to be blessed as we take a stand on the liberty of Christ setting us free, that perfect law of liberty, God's word. So, you know, our country started what really got things rolling for us. I mean, a lot of things happened to put our country or these 13 colonies in a position to be one nation. But what really put it together was the Declaration of Independence. I think we're all familiar with that, right? We hold these truths to be what? Self-evident. That all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator God with what? Certain, unalienable. What's unalienable mean?
Can't be separated.
Can't be what?
Separated.
Can't be separated. This is from a lawyer here, so it's right. Can't be separated. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Pretty neat, huh? Well, somebody came up with, we can hand those out, came up with a Christian's Declaration of Independence. And I'd like to hand these out to you. And I shared this a few years ago, Bert, when I know we were on your boat on the 4th of July several years ago.
Yeah, exactly. You maybe the same thing.
Four years we had these. So some of you might recognize this.
Sorry.
But I want to read this with you, and then I'm maybe ask some of you all to read parts of it in the bottom there.
Okay.
So, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary, and this is like a preamble to it, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one God to dissolve the spiritual bondage of his people by his Son, Jesus Christ, that they may assume among the powers of the earth the separate and superior station to which the will of God entitles them, a decent respect to God who dissolved their bondage requires that they should walk in the light of his word. And here it starts, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all Christians are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable sonship rights, that among these are eternal life, spiritual liberty, and the hope of Christ's return. That to secure these sonship rights, we put on the God's word in our minds, deriving our power from what God wrought in Christ. That whenever any form of the old man becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the Christian to abolish and bury it, and to institute the new man, which is Christ in you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness from on high places. Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God, that when abuses and usurpations evidence a design to reduce us again to bondage, it is our right as sons of God, and it is our duty to throw off such an old man and put on the word of God. The history of the God of this world is a history of repeated injuries, usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over Christians. Therefore, we look to the word of God to provide the true source of our victory over the evil one, and henceforth declare. So I need some readers here. All right, Claudia, number one, would you read that?
We shall no more live as members of this world, for we have been sanctified, set apart for heaven by being born again of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:30.
All right.
The authority of.
Yes. Number two, who's got that? Leslie?
We shall no more confess unrighteousness, for we have the righteousness of God, which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yeah, these are sonship rights. Mm-hmm. What about number three? Jeannie?
We shall no more claim the penalty of sin, for we were completely justified when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Romans 3:24.
And number four, Bob?
We shall no more consent to be subservient to Satan, for we have been redeemed from his power, bought with a price, Ephesians 1:7.
And Josh, can you do number five?
We shall no more back down from speaking the word of God, for we have the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18.
Yeah, these are just some of our sonship rights, huh?
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I trust that'll help you remember who you are as sons of liberty. So I'd like to close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful country that we have to live in. And the heritage that is in our history, we're very grateful for. And I pray, Father, that we can uphold as American citizens these great realities of our nation and who we really are and what started this nation, that we can remember that. And then above that, above all, really, Father, I pray that as sons of liberty, as sons of God, who are born again of your Spirit, that we can really tap into our sonship rights, that we can walk and stand before this world, the people of this world, and confess the truth of your word so that people can truly be free. So thank you, Father, for how you love us and take care of us and how we can stand for you in our times. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.